what I often say, and when my funeral service comes, repeat it. Aren't you glad you're saved? Where would you rather be at this hour than where you are today, except with more people of the Lord? Salvation is a wonderful thing, and I trust that you are enjoying it to the full. Our subject tonight, similitudes of the believer. 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 2. Verses 15 and 16. Similitudes of the believer. For we are unto God a sweet savor, a sweet fragrance, a sweet aroma. In them that are being saved, and in them that perish. To one we are the savor, the fragrance, the aroma of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. The pharmaceutical industry, and more particularly the cosmetic people, oh, how they like to produce new perfumes, new fragrances, and all of these things so that we be less offensive. We are a sweet savor unto God. From each believer, there is going up a fragrance, an aroma to God. But that same fragrance has its effect on those around. As we have read, we are a sweet savor of Christ to them that are saved. The saved people like the aroma that we exude. But the perishing people don't like the aroma. And these perishing people that don't like our aroma are all around us. The ACLU, the Now Movement, and of all places and people, Planned Parenthood. Do you know they don't like us? One reason they don't like us, our fragrance is different from what they want. Our fragrance, for example, says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Then he created man, and he created a woman. Their fragrance is, and what they want to hear is, same-sex marriage. And when we talk about men and women only marrying, they are offended. They don't like the idea. But as I was saying to Brother George recently, and I got this from another brother, God created Adam and then Eve. He did not create Adam and Steve. And that's where we stand. A pleasant aroma to those of us that love the Lord, but a cause of offense to those that don't love the Lord. Fragrant odors coming from us as believers. Turn with me, please, to Ruth chapter 1. An example of how our aroma is affecting different ones. Ruth chapter 1. A pleasant aroma to the Lord, a pleasant aroma to those that are living. An unpleasant aroma to those that are dying. Ruth chapter 1, we know this well. And we're going to read the better part of this. And as one brother said, even though you know John 3:16, every time you see it and read it slowly. You can always profit from the word of God. And I think it was J.N. Darby who says, you can profit from every word in the Bible. In the beginning, God. You can profit from the word in, from the word the. This is almost unthinkable, isn't it? You can profit from every word in the Word of God. And so we're going to read chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. They dwelled there about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was bereft of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, and ye shall, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. I am too old to have an husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, it grieves me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept. Orpah kissed her mother, but Ruth clave unto her. Now, from all we have read, Naomi wasn't partial. The same fragrance was extended going out from her to both children. One decided to leave, and the other decided to stay. And that is what is happening in the world today. The fragrance that we are emitting, is having an effect on the ungodly. They don't want it. And on those that love the Lord. Oh, I remember sometime back in New York. I traced most of my experiences to New York. That's where I was born, raised, saved, and educated. That wicked city. And we'd be there singing a hymn. And then some people, mostly women, would come along and join in the singing. The fragrance was sweet to them. Oh, but I think of some others. Certain hymns you're sure to get in trouble. And when we started to sing, in the sweet by and by, oh my, then you could hear those that didn't like the fragrance. We don't want the by and by, we want now and now. A fragrance is going out from us, beloved. The same fragrance went out from Naomi to Ruth and to Orpah. It had a different effect on both of them. Several years ago, we were in Detroit, my wife and I, visiting with Brother Ken Hampton and his wife. He has been here several years ago. And we went to a place to eat. And the young lady that was serving us, I said, there's something different about her. She had the same uniform as everybody else, same attire as everybody else, set the table like everybody else, took the orders like everybody else. And I said to Ken Hampton, there's something about her that's different. And when she came to the table, I said, young lady, I want to ask you a question. I hope you won't be offended. What church do you go to? And when she answered, Ken said, that's one of the assemblies. She was emanating the fragrance and the aroma of the Lord Jesus Christ, serving as a waitress in the restaurant. This thing is real. It's not ours. We are emitting a fragrance. I think of another lady. I hesitate to tell you this because I'm not complimenting myself. But she came to the office one day, the first time I had seen her. First time she saw me. And after going through the usual routine, as she was leaving, she said, Doctor, I want to ask you a question. I said, yes. Are you a Christian? I said, yes. She said, I thought so. I had to bow my head in prayer. I didn't speak to her about the Lord. We had no tracts in the office. We had no signs on the walls. And she detected that I was a believer. Oh, how humbling and how gratifying. We are emitting aromas, fragrances, and those around us should be able to tell what we are. Some will be offended. They don't like the aroma. But oh, thank the Lord for those that enjoy the aroma. Chapter 3, please. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. Verse 2. You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You are our letter. Our epistle, beloved, people are reading us. People are reading us. I wonder how the print is. Is it distinct? I wonder how the spelling is. Is it correct? Our neighbors are reading us. I think of the story of a young girl. You probably have heard it. Her mother was an unbeliever. Her parents were unbelievers. They sent her away for the summer to spend the summer with her aunt, who was a believer. She returned home, said, I want to go to church. Went to a certain assembly. The Sunday school asked, under whose preaching were you saved? So-and-so. Under whose preaching were you saved? Billy Graham. Under whose preaching were you saved? So-and-so. Came to this girl, under whose preaching were you saved? She said, I wasn't saved under anybody's preaching. Well, then how were you led to the Lord? I was led to the Lord by my aunt's living. We are epistles, and they are reading us. You're familiar with the poem, I'm sure. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I think we all know that. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely show the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear, and so forth. People are watching us, and they are reading us. What are they reading? What are they reading? And we as parents, we have to be very careful. I think of a young lady, young believer. She married a saved man, nice couple, and they had a child. He went to one assembly, and she went to another one. Child was about 3 years old, and Sunday morning said, "Whose church are we going to now?" And they looked at each other. "This child is divided. She doesn't know which one of our churches she should attend." Do you know what those parents did? They got together and decided that they would both attend the same assembly. That child was reading. Our children are reading us. I wonder what they see. I think of another fellow. We were in Sunday school together at the same age. And I can tell you it wouldn't mean anything to you. Exactly where this happened, in New York City. 99th Street between Columbus and 8th Avenue. That doesn't mean a thing to you. But that's where it was. This fellow was the same age as I. He came to me and you know what he said? "My father does not want us to go to the picture show. But my mother gives us money and tells us to go, but don't tell Daddy." That fellow died about 10 years ago. And to the best of my knowledge, he was not saved. He was reading his father and his mother, and he preferred the reading of his mother. Beloved, we have to be very careful how we behave, because they are reading us. They are reading us. And they are reading us as we go along the way. "I am my neighbor's Bible." You know that? They may not read the Bible, but they're reading us. "I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today he meets me in my home, tomorrow in the street. He may be relative or friend or slight acquaintance be. He may not even know my name, but he is reading me." They're reading us, beloved. What are they reading? What are we telling them? Our life tells what we like and what we are. We tell what we are by what we read. We tell what we are by where we go. I've told you this story. Again, it goes back to New York. Everything goes, in my life, goes back to New York. So it seems. Young couple in the assembly. Lovely people. Now we have in New York City, I don't recall the exact name, but at Christmas time this thing happens at Rockefeller Center. Forget the name of it. But it's a question of, fancy music. Fuzzy music is better. And dancing and parading, that sort of thing. And this dear sister, young sister, said to her husband, "Oh, let's go and see the Rockies, I think they're called." The husband said, "I think we better not go." "Oh, we must all, but it's all right, let's go." You know, she got him so provoked that he decided to go. But he had a plan. And when they got to Rockefeller Center, he said, "Three tickets, please." And she looked at him. "Why three?" "One for you, one for me, and one for the Lord." She said, "Let's go home." They are reading us. People are reading us. They're reading us in school. They're reading us at our work. Again, the story I've told of a certain superintendent. He was superintendent over this group of men for some 10 years, and he was retiring. And they gave him a nice retirement dinner. And various ones were wishing him this and wishing him the other. You know what he said? "There's only one man in here that can tell me anything that I'll pay attention to. And who do you think that man was?" An old believer. Didn't say much, didn't do much. He said, "That's the only man that I have been impressed with in the last 10 years. He's the only man I want to hear anything from." And what do you think happened? That brother got up and he preached. They're looking at us. They're watching us. They are reading us. verses 17 and 18, please. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, reflecting the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 34, please. Reflecting the beauty of the Lord by being in His presence. Exodus chapter 34. And this one we know well also. Exodus 34, verse 28. Exodus 34, verse 28. He, Moses, was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. He wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. It came to pass, please note, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shined while he talked with the Lord. You want to reflect the beauty of the Lord? You have to stay in His presence. Be in His presence. And how long did Moses stay there? A couple of seconds? 40 days and 40 nights. Some time ago, this was not in New York. This one was in Denver, Colorado. I was at a scientific meeting there, and on the ground floor of the hotel, there was a photographic shop. And I went over to the photographer and asked, "Where did you get that picture? Where did I get that picture?" And he told me where to go to get that picture. Picture of the Capitol at night. And then he said to me, "But you can't get that picture." You know what? He thought I was going to take a snapshot. That's one of those things where you click the button, and in a fraction of a second, the picture is taken. But this was nighttime. You know what I did? I got a tripod, put the camera on it, opened up the lens, focused, and kept that lens open for 90 seconds. What we call a time release. Not a snapshot, not a fraction of a second, a time exposure. Moses' face shone. How long was he in the presence of the Lord? 40 days and 40 nights. And if we are going to reflect the beauty of the Lord, we've got to spend time in His presence. Many of you have heard the name Dr. Rose. Some of you knew him. I had the pleasure of meeting him for a while before he went to be with the Lord. And he told this story, and I heard it from his lips. A certain young lady said to him, "Dr. Rose, I would like to know the scriptures the way you know them," and he knew them. He said, "Well, how much time do you spend studying the Word of God?" She said, "Oh, 10 or 15 minutes a day." He said, "You'll never know your Bible the way I do." And that upset her. And she had planned her studies for a certain career, and she changed. Studied Hebrew and Greek, and then the Holy Bible. I don't know if she's still alive, but in California, they tell me, she has a library. full of books, all cataloged. And when you go to that library, you just tell her what subject you are interested in, and she will pull out the references. All placed there by her own study. Not 10 and 15 minutes a day. Time exposure. And if we're going to know the Word of God, we've got to spend time with the book. Oh, you tell me. But I'm so busy. I have so many things to do. Well, a certain businessman was asked. He was a child of God, big businessman, very busy. How do you find time to do so much? He says, I don't find time, I take time. You want to learn the Word of God? You got to take time. And I'll assure you of one thing. You'll enjoy it. It'll thrill you to learn what's in this book. It makes you feel good. I listen to the news regularly. I know some people don't appreciate or don't approve of the radio. In fact, I know a couple. It was the teaching in their assembly that you shouldn't have a radio. You shouldn't listen to the radio. And so every morning when they went to work, they knocked on the door, at the door of the next door neighbor, to find out what time it was. They weren't allowed to have a radio so that they could know the time. But I do listen to the radio. But I want to tell you, I find time for this book. And it's thrilling. This book is thrilling. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And I was reading recently, we'll have to talk about that another time, a certain lady, a certain sister, blind early in her life, and memorized the whole Old Testament. I wonder how she did. She devoted time. Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies are also my delight. Oh, do you delight in the Word? Do you enjoy the Word of the Lord, beloved? Or do you find it dull and boring? Thy testimonies are my delight. And I assure you, once you get with this book, you'll thrill. I've told you before about my friend Lloyd. He's now with the Lord. He worked at Macy's in New York. And he was in the restroom area reading his Bible. He thought no one was there. And suddenly he said, "Wow! Someone was in there. What's the matter, Lloyd? Are you all right? Are you feeling good?" He said, "I'm fine. I was just thrilled." Have you ever said wow when you're reading the Word of God? Try it. Don't hold yourself in. Let it go. Thank the Lord for His Word. Verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day. Young folks, I want you to read verse 99. And this is true today. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. You want to get along in school? You want success in school? The way Daniel and his three friends had, you get with this book. I've told you before about my cousin. She's now with the Lord. Was one of my favorite relatives. Lovely young lady. And I remember this well. On a Wednesday, she called me and said, I think I'm in trouble. I said, what happened? I just took an examination in biology. I said, so what's the about biology caused trouble? She said, I put a note at the end of the examination paper. I have answered the above questions according to the theory of evolution, but I want you to know I don't believe in the theory. Would you do that? I've never done it. Following Wednesday, she called me, and her voice was light and cheerful. I said, what happened? I got an A on the examination. What about the note that you wrote? The teacher wrote, neither do I. They know that they're talking nonsense. You don't have to believe what they say. When you know the Word of God and what God teaches, you're smarter than they are. Especially the evolutionists. While you know the most powerful words, among the most powerful words in the Bible, in the beginning, God. And no evolutionist can do better than that. Spend time with the Word of God. Verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do you believe that? It's true. It's true. The Word of God has a flavor. And I want to tell you, it's a good flavor. It's a pleasant flavor. And you want to have more and more and more till you get to the point where you say, Lord, I can't take it anymore now. Let me just digest what I've eaten. The Word of God has a flavor. It's not a fast food. The Bible is not fast food. You can eat that out there. And what's the man's name? Like somebody, whatever his name is. You can eat fast food out there. And when it comes to the Word of the Lord, eat it slowly. Eat it like a lady and like a gentleman. Chew slowly. Take it in, and you will enjoy the flavor. Verse 111, please. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. The Word of God. And exposure to the Word of God will enable you to reflect, as we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. You will reflect the beauty of the law. And there's no greater beauty to reflect the beauty of the law. Our lives should tell. I go back a bit on the matter of example. Another nurse, very nice lady, cooperative, intelligent, and she too was a little different from all the others. One morning I went down to the coffee shop and she was there. I was seated and she came in. She didn't know I was looking. She placed her order, took her order to the table, and what do you think she did? What Brother George and I seldom see people do when they eat. She gave thanks. I said, I knew she was different. They're watching us below. What are we exuding and exhuming to the world around? They are watching. Story is told in India. Brother Enoch may be able to tell you what part of India, I don't know. But there was a statue there in the middle of the city. And a certain man used to come every day and look at that statue. He did that for year after year after year. And what do you think happened? After a while, he would sit looking at the statue, and you couldn't tell man from statue. We ought to be looking at the Lord Jesus Christ as in a mirror, reflecting his glory and his beauty. I think that's enough. Hymn number 204. Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open on my eyes. Illumine me, Spirit divine. We are to emanate, give out the aroma of salvation. We are to be examples of the believer. We are to reflect the beauty of the Lord. Shall we pray? Again, Holy Father, with thanksgiving we bow in thy presence. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the teaching and that which thou hast brought to our attention this evening. May it be ours to live for the Lord, to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be always in a position to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now as we dismiss. Take each of us home, we pray thee, in peace and in safety, accident-free and incident-free, as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Again.